Like to read along. We're going to be in Isaiah 40 today. No, I'm not going to cover all 31 verses, just 23. But let's read together Isaiah. Well, I'm just going to like to just read Isaiah chapter 40, verses 12 through 18. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens by the span? And calculated the dust of the earth by the measure, and weighed the mountains in a balance, and the hills in a pair of scales? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has informed him? With whom did he consult, and who gave him understanding? And who taught him in the path of justice, and taught him knowledge? And he informed him, of the way of understanding. Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket, and are regarded as a speck of dust on the scales. Behold, he lifts up the islands like fine dust. Even Lebanon is not enough to burn, nor its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are regarded by him as less than nothing and meaningless. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare? The word of the Lord. You may be seated. A couple Sundays ago, I wound up being up front doing the announcements and the welcome and things. And if you were here, you might have heard me talk about this one particular verse in Hosea chapter 4, verse 7. And what I shared that day is talking about the priests. And the more priests they had, there were more problems. Go figure that one out. But this is what is said. It says, they exchanged their glorious God for something disgraceful. And when I got the call or the text chain yesterday, I thought, you know, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about our glorious God. Because I don't want us to turn from him. I want us to be in awe of him. And one of my favorite chapters in the Bible that does that is Isaiah chapter 40. So some pastors have preached for months on this verse, this chapter. I am not. I have a day. So there's a lot of things that I could say and I'm not. When you talk about, you know, like the dust on a scale. There is so much about that, which we don't have time for. But my hope today is that you could say, as we're going to read here in verse 9 in a moment, here is my God. Or maybe this is my God. And if for some reason you walk out of here today and you don't know that this is your God, I want to encourage you to talk to somebody before you leave. Because he is my God, and I love to talk about him. So let's start at verse 9. So it says, get yourself up on a high mountain. How many of you have climbed to the top of Pike's Peak? Okay, a few of you. Okay. You know what? That counts. Okay. The only reason I never drove to the top of Pike's Peak was because I didn't want to have to pay for new brakes after I got down from Pike's Peak. By the way, you know that's why a lot of people come here and rent a car and get full insurance? So that way when they go to the top and drive down, they don't get charged for anything. I worked at Glen Eyrie for a long time. I've learned people's tricks, but anyway. But I say that because that's 14,000 feet. You know, there's a country song that talks about, and I love the Blue Ridge Mountains, they're 4,000 feet high, which ain't bad, but add 10,000, right? But I want you to picture that because of what he's about to say. So he says, get yourself up on a high mountain, O Zion, bearer of good news. Lift up your voice mightily, O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. lifted up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Now, you notice what he doesn't say here? Kind of go, we'll go back to a little when we were kids, right? Hide it under a bushel? No, right? I want to what? Thank you, right? No, he says, go on a high place. And he says, tell people the good news. Like Marilyn, Doug is not going to the Mardi Gras, right? What is he going to do at the Mardi Gras? Right, he's going to try to share the good news. Now, he could just go to the Mardi Gras. We'll leave it at that. But he's going to share the good news. And notice what it says. It says, do it mightily. Do not fear. You know, there's an old phrase, an old song. Debbie could probably sing it. I won't have her do it, but, you know. But it's this old hymn. It says, I love to tell the story. I want to know something. Do you love to tell it? Are you afraid that you might be rejected? Do you believe it's good news? Matter of fact, I would say it this way. I think the gospel of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ did for us is the only real good news. Everything else flows out of that, right? But do you know if you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are a bearer of good news. So God tells you, go out and share it. Now, do you need to go, you know, climb the roof of Walmart and stand on the top of Walmart and share the gospel? You could. Probably would get you arrested. That's not what I mean by go on the mountain and share. But I do know this. It means that every time the Lord gives you an opportunity, be a bearer of good news. Let's keep going. Verse 10, behold, the Lord God will come with might. Stop and think about that for a second. Is there something going on in your life right now or maybe someone else's? And is it okay if I move this? Because I'm going to run over this at some point and I'm going to hurt myself. You going through something right now and you're just confused or you're not sure. And it says, the Lord your God comes to you with might. The God who created the heavens and the earth comes to you with might. I'm wondering, can we trust a God like that? I'm thankful that he comes with might. One of my kids went through a very traumatic experience this week, and they were out of town, and Dad could not be there with them. And I was thankful that there is a Father God who was with her. And he comes with might. And then notice this. So here's this, there's this, with his arms ruling for him, behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense is before him. Right? So here's this awesome God. And then just look at this next verse. Verse 11. Like a shepherd, notice these words, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. So we got might, and then we got this baby thing going on today, right? Like, I was watching Terry. He's probably out there. Boy, Terry's just snuggling this baby today, so the worship team had their leaders. But he wasn't like doing this, woo, baby, yeah, you know. It's like right here, right? That gentle, tender care. And he says, that's who God is for us. That's funny. I thought that was Terry coming in demonstrating what I just said. But he cares. He holds you like this. Like when I think this, right? When he comes to your mind, then it says, but he holds you like this. What's the first word that comes to your mind? Love. Okay, cuddle's a good word. I like that. Protection, right? What? Cozy. Yeah. You've got a lot of experience that with Dave, right? Okay, but here's this mighty, awesome God, right? And he says, I've got you right here. I don't know about you, man, that blows my mind. Right? Because then you come right out of this, and then he goes to that passage we just read, right? He's measured the waters, and who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? And they almost want you to go, you want to answer that, right, when you say that, right? Right? So who has? Do we know the answer? Yeah. Huh? And who marked off the heavens by the span? Right? Let's see, what else? He calculated the dust of the earth. I don't know why you'd want to do that. Yesterday, we had some friends coming over, and I had to clean the house. And I'm thinking, I had a hard enough time just looking at the dust, much less collecting it and measuring it. Right? Okay, those are laughs of, yes, Chris, I know what you're saying, right? But he says that, right? Who weighs the mountains in a balance? Here's what's crazy. God can tell you exactly how much Pike's Peak weighs. Am I right? Could you just think, how could we figure that out? I mean, do you go grab your bathroom scale and go dig a hole underneath the bottom? I mean, you can't. You need to see, this is our God. You know, besides being a pastor, you know that I'm a counselor, and it says, so who has directed the Spirit of the Lord or has been his counselor to inform him? Okay. God has not set up a counseling appointment with me where I am his counselor. Could you imagine? But you know what I love? Is every day when I have the opportunity to counsel in this church and back in the Springs where I live and other places, he's there to enable me and to help me to counsel. Right? This is our God. And we could go on and on, right? Like skip down to 15, right? The nations are like a drop from a bucket. Right? It's so easy to turn on the news today and be afraid. Okay? So God has all the nations, and it's like the last drop in a bucket. Right? Or like when you're trying to sip that last caramel latte you had for breakfast this morning, right? You get that last sip. He's like, man, all these nations, it's like that little drop in the bottom of the bucket. And why does he tell us that? There's a number of reasons. One of those is, he's got it. He's got us. That's why he doesn't want us to live in fear. Are we going to be afraid? Oh, yeah. But we don't have to stay living in fear. Right? They're like a drop in a bucket. Now, again, you could spend hours thinking through these things, but the point is this. Your biggest problem, God can handle. You ever stop and think about that? If he can weigh Pike's Peak, seriously, if he can weigh Pike's Peak, can he come alongside you as that shepherd and meet you where you're at? Yeah. You know how oftentimes, like, kings don't have times for nobodies? I am so glad that that is not our king. He cares about your smallest detail. You know why I know that? You know, because Mark, I'm just going to use Mark because Mark and I are good friends. Even today, after Mark showered and got ready for church, God knows how many hairs are on his head. And you think, what is significant about that? And my answer would be what, Mark? What is significant about the number of hairs on your head? It ain't too much. That's why I picked you, okay? But if you stop and think about it, but stop and think about this for a minute. Mark, really, honestly, how significant is the number of hairs on your head? To you, like, who cares? I mean, right, okay. But he cares so much about you that he knows the minutest detail. And I don't know about you, but I lose a lot of hair every day. Sometimes because I pull it out myself. No, not really. But I want you to see this in the scripture. Here is this incredible God who holds you like this. Right? Because here's a thought with that. I think I've shared this maybe with a few of you, either in counseling or maybe once when I preached. But, you know, people always talked about this awesome God who wants to be intimate with us. And I was like, help me understand that. This passage does, as well as one more. Amos 4:13 is one of my top five all-time favorite Bible verses. And you see the same picture as you do in Isaiah 40. It says, he who formed the mountains and creates the wind and reveals his thoughts to man. He who turns dawn into darkness and treads the high places of the earth, the Lord God Almighty is his name. Tuck away right there in the middle. Larry, God wants to tell you what's on his heart. Now, who's Larry? Right? The same way like the number of hairs on Mark. Right? Oh. But God knows who Larry is. And God wants to share his heart with. You see that? Here's this awesome, there's this intimate God in Amos 4:13. There's this awesome, but tenderly caring shepherd in Isaiah 40. Man, this God who could pulverize me in like that would rather commune with me. I don't know if this is helping you guys today, but I needed this for my. That we serve a mighty God. Let's skip down to verse 18. It's so funny, I catch myself looking at the clock and I'm like, I don't go as long as Paul does, and I'm frantic and I'm like, oh, I got a lot of time left. But you're like, yeah, Chris, but if you want to get us out of here, you know, anyway. Okay, now I want you to notice that this portion from 18 to 26. This is the last verse I finished with when we were sharing it a minute ago. To whom then? That's right. Share it out that God is good. I am all for that. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare with him? As for the idol, a craftsman casts it, a goldsmith plates it with gold, and a silversmith fashions chains of silver. He who is too impoverished for such an offering selects a tree that does not rot. He seeks out for himself a skillful craftsman to prepare an idol that will not totter. All right, people trying to replace God with something else. Now, I don't know if you've tried that. I have. Can I tell you at the bottom line what it is? It is an empty, bottomless pit of nothingness. Now, the world will tell you something different. The enemy will tell you something different. But I'm sorry, folks, Snickers does not truly satisfy. Neither does the most expensive food or the most expensive bottle or the cheapest bottle of alcohol or the wrong relationships. I could go on and on and on because we keep looking for something. And the Bible says you can keep looking and looking and looking, and you will never find it until one day you see Jesus face to face. When you hear that good news and you embrace it. But we can keep building those idols and we can keep doing all those things. And I say to you who are struggling with those things and finding those things and trying to get out of those things, I would love to help you. That's the type of counseling I do. There's others who could help you as well. Because you're going to keep running in a circle. And you're always going to be disappointed. Right? Because there's some things, all right, so the Broncos lost because Bo Nix broke his ankle, okay? Well, there's a disappointment in that, right? Because we're thinking, wow, 4 more points and we'd have been in the Super Bowl. Okay, but that was like 3 weeks ago. Give us a couple more weeks and we'll be ready for baseball season, but not the Rockies. But so some of those things just come and go, right? But there's things about all of us that we're looking for something. Okay, I just forgot my artist. Is it YouTube? I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Guess what? You won't find it until you find the one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. 21. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth. And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, right? I mean, I could have gone to Larry and said, Larry is nothing. Or I could have even gone a step further and said, Larry, you're like a grasshopper. But you know what God says about grasshoppers? He still cares about it, right? But you may say, Chris, man, I've done too much, or there's no way God could forgive me, or fill in the blank, and I want to tell you, that is such a lie. You know, most people who may not even know the Lord at least know the song Amazing Grace. I love it because it starts out this way. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And by the way, if you think you're the greatest wretch, you lost. Because the Apostle Paul declared he was the greatest and the chiefest of sinners. And yet God saved him. So guess what? There's hope for every last one of us, no matter your story. This week I was meeting with a counselor, and they're like, Chris, I can't tell you what I want to tell you. And I'm like, why? Because they said, I am afraid that the moment you hear my story, you will reject me. And I said, well, before you do that, I said, here's 4 promises I make to everybody I meet with. I said, I promise not to embarrass you, shame you, judge you, or condemn you. I am not holding the stone. Yeah. That's how we should be with others, right? If you don't know what I mean by the stone, you can just take a look at John chapter 8. Folks, there is nothing you've done that God is not mightier. And He loves you. There's another song that says, come just as you are. Like, so many people think, well, but I got to clean up. I got to get over this addiction or, you know, this, that, or the other before God will accept me. And this may sound a little whatever, but I want to tell you this. God says, how about you come to me and let me give you the bath and then we'll talk about changing you. But see, we got to do it our way. I love songs. I appreciate Frank Sinatra. That song does not fit the Christian life. Right? You don't have to clean up to come to God. He says, come as you are. Now that sounds great, but that's why it blows my mind. This God who is so big cares about grasshoppers like me and Larry. Are you understanding the significance of this? If you don't, I'm okay, because I needed these reminders today. But I'm hoping at least one thing today just makes your heart glad. Forgot where I left off. Here we go. Verse 22, right? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth. And yeah, that's the grasshoppers. So, verse 23. He it is who reduces rulers to nothing, who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. Scarcely have they been planted. Scarcely have they been sown. Scarcely has their stock taken root in the earth. But he merely blows on them and they wither. Now, rulers, authorities, just anybody in general, is there someone that you're thinking about right now that you just wish you could, and they'd be gone? You don't have to answer that one. Okay? That's what God can do. It's taken care of. And Abby's freaking out about how she's going to pass her math test next week. She is, okay. I didn't know that. Abby. Study. Do your best. Trust God. He's got you. Okay? Now, when I said if there's somebody in your mind that you would, and your thought was, Chris, there's more than one, possibly you might want to set up a counseling session. But you stop and just think about that for a second. That's what it looks like to this almighty God. Man, we are like, oh! And he's like, I got it. But do you believe it? Do you believe God? Do you believe that about God? And do you believe that he would do that for you? So remember, he starts 18 with, to whom then will you liken God? Right? And then he tells you all these other things. And then in 25, it says the same thing, but he adds another word. To whom then will you liken me? So it's almost like, it's like he's saying, okay, do you believe yet? To who do you liken me? Okay, now that I've told you some more. Then, so now, do you? That's the picture of this in this thing. He could have just said it the same way, right? To whom then will you liken me? But then he says, to whom then? Like, have I convinced you yet? So, obviously, he didn't think everybody would get it at that point because the chapter continues. So to whom then will you liken me that I would be his equal, says the Holy One? So here's the thing, right? So look at this next verse, verse 26. So lift up your eyes on high. Look up. You know, when Peter was walking on water, when he was looking up and looking at the face of Jesus, he was doing really good. And then all of a sudden, he looked down. And he almost drowned. But lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. Okay, so now God's taking this to a different level here of who he is. All right? The one, him, who leads forth their hosts by numbers, and he calls them all by name. How many of you are stargazers? Some of you just like looking at stars? You ever try to count them? I mean, Larry, you raise your hand. Have you ever tried? I mean, Tim, if you ever, you did too, Larry. Did you? Have you ever tried to count them? No way, right? God, but not only count them, He knows every star by name. Man, sometimes when I'm in a tizzy, I don't even remember my five kids' names. I'll call Tara and Hannah. I've only got five. Do you guys think there's more than five stars in the sky? Okay. He knows them all by name. Guys, you can't make this stuff up. I ain't that creative. I don't know how somebody could write this if it wasn't true. Even the most creative person, how could you put these things into perspective? Right? So He calls them by name because of the greatness of His might and the strength of His power. Not one of them is missing. Not one. Man, I couldn't find my car keys yesterday. I was missing my car keys. Not one of the stars is missing. And He knows them all by name. You know what else I know? He knows you by name. And I love that fact. Over in Zephaniah 3:17, it even says, when He thinks about you, He has a song in His heart. That's one of my other top five verses of all time. You heard two of them today. All right, so let's flip over to, well, at least in my Bible, I'm flipping over to verse 27. I'm not sure if you need to. Because this kind of shifts. 27 through 31 says, okay, now that you know all of this, listen and find hope. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. Okay, parents, I think you're going to identify with me on this. Maybe. If not, then help me because I'll need some parenting help. Okay? I have one of my kids that takes 3 minutes to say what I can sum up in 30 seconds. And then they want to talk about six things. And I'm sitting there going, would you just get to it? And I love them to death. But you know what? I get weary. Like, come on, get on with it. Thankfully, she won't be watching, listening to the tape today. But no, I thought about that when I read this last night. I was like, oh my gosh. It's like God was saying, Chris, aren't you glad that I don't treat you in your mind the way you treat your daughter? Then I thought about something else. It's like people who say, God, I'm here again for the 480th time. And He's like, He'd be like, great, I'm glad you're back. What do you want to talk about? But some of us may have that neighbor or that friend and the phone rings or they're walking towards your Ring doorbell and you can see him coming to your door. And you're like, oh. Is that just me, by the way? That was me a long time ago, but anyway. But I want you to understand that He does not become weary or tired of you. I had to remind somebody of that a couple months ago. They came in for counseling. They just said, Chris, I just want you to know I'm divorcing my spouse because I'm tired of them. Okay. I mean, you got to be careful because, like, what I want to say initially and what I do say are very different. Okay. I'm just tired. Tired of my spouse. Or sometimes I meet with people and they're like, Chris, I'm just tired. I want to be gone. Now, I know we can get to places where we feel that way. God never gets tired of you. Even in your stupidest, most dumb thing you could do, He doesn't get tired of you. Does that help you at all to know that? Oh, great. Boy, there comes Ethan again. God never says that. And by the way, and I don't say that about Ethan either. As a matter of fact, I texted Ethan out of the blue at 7:30 this morning, and I said, bro, can you help me? I said, Paul kind of threw this on me last night, and I'm excited to share, and there's a song I would love to end the service with. And he didn't say, sorry, worship practice starts in an hour. I can't do that. You know what his response to me was? Let me see what I can do. Let me see what I can do. So I don't know, worship team, when you saw me walk back through in the back as you were singing the song we're going to finish with, and I was smiling like this and doing this. Did you guys see that? You made my day. Because Ethan, thank you for not making me feel like an inconvenience. You ever felt like an inconvenience? Oh, all of you are doing this, right? My God has time for you. You are not an inconvenience. Let's finish with this. Before I read these last three verses, well, let me just read them, and then we'll see how if you fit into any of these words. Okay? So as I'm reading along, just think about this. He gives strength to the weary. Are you weary today? I bet a few of you in here are weary right now. I want to tell you, He gives you strength. And to him who lacks might, He increases power. Lord, I don't have the strength. I can't do it. He says, good. Then maybe you'll ask me because I want to give you my power and my might. Right? So here again, right? We didn't even read the first eight verses, but we got mighty God, He's a shepherd. Oh my gosh, He's this great God. And then He comes back down to this. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly. Okay, I'm not as young as I used to be. But if we compare all of us with Methuselah, we are very young. But even some of you may be young here today, however you want to define that phrase. You might feel weary and tired. And maybe you're thinking, oh my gosh, I shouldn't even be in church today because I did something to really stumble last night. Well, if you did, two thoughts. Number one, I'm glad you're here. Well, three thoughts. Number one, number two, there's no judgment. And number three, there's a God who cares. Yet, those who wait for the Lord. Now, I don't know about you guys. This might be the hardest verse I'm telling you today. Those who wait for the Lord. You know why I think that's so hard? Why do you think I might say that's the hardest sentence I may say today? Just say it. You're probably not going to say anything wrong, and if you do, I'll biblically turn right. But why do I think that might be the hardest thing I say today? Because we're impatient. Right? Anything else when you think about waiting on the Lord? Okay. Like, how many of you get upset in Starbucks when they promise you you're in and out of the drive-thru in 2 minutes and 30 seconds? And it's been 2:45. They're already 15 seconds late, and you're thinking about work or your next appointment. Right? I don't joke about that. If you're sitting in Starbucks and you sneak back and look at the drive-thru, they actually have a timer. Each store has a time. That's their goal, to get you in and out of the drive-thru line. Right? And then we get really hacked when they get the order wrong, right? So it took an extra 15 seconds, and then they got it wrong. So now I have to go back in. But we're frustrated, right? Because we're expecting this is going to happen. So like last night, I was running late, and I had a microwave a dinner, and I was like, there you go, 3.5 minutes. That was nice. But it's right. We oftentimes we're impatient, or it's this way. Here's my definition of impatience, okay? I want it, and I want it now. But I've met with so many people who say that phrase, I've actually changed that now. So I say it this way. I want it, and I wanted it 5 minutes ago. All right, you're saying, keep on moving, Chris. This is getting a little too touchy for me. I am a very compassionate man. I think most of you know that. But sometimes, yeah, a little touchy feeling, though. Sometimes we have to rub up against the truth. Because God wants to make us more like him. Right? So, but here's the promise. If you can wait for more than 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. And they will walk and not become weary. I think that's a pretty good reason to wait. By the way, as I was thinking about this, I know some of you probably watched the Super Bowl, even though the Broncos weren't in it. But did you happen to watch the Budweiser commercial with the eagle? Okay? Because all of a sudden you think this Budweiser horse, this Clydesdale, just got wings. No, this was not a Red Bull commercial. This was a Budweiser commercial. And then all of a sudden, these wings are that eagle and its sword. If you haven't seen it, YouTube it. It was my favorite Super Bowl commercial. I only watched like six, but that was my favorite Super Bowl commercial. But you will mount on wings like eagles. If you don't know anything about that, watch that commercial, because I think it just, Mark, you and Debbie both shook your head, yes. Doesn't that just kind of do something when you watch the commercial?
I loved it at the end,
the two guys, he's like, are you crying? He's like, no, I got dust in my eye. So wherever you're at today, this awesome God has time for you. He has time for me. Man, do I deserve his time? No. Not from my perspective, but from his perspective, it's like the door's open sign. I am so glad that when we reach out to God, there isn't a sign that says, do not disturb. So many verses in Scripture say that. Like, matter of fact, you don't have to turn there, but let me share Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verses 14 to 16 with you. Worship team, get prepared. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For notice this, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things we are, yet without sin. Like you come to me and say, Chris, I want to share some things with you. I don't think you'll ever understand them. I might not. But there's a God who does. He can sympathize with any and every weakness you're in. So because of that, look at verse 16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence. One translation says, come boldly before the throne of grace so that you might find mercy and help in time of need. You guys can come on up while I finish. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what's going on in your minds and your hearts. But I know two things I want you to know today. We have a God that is incomprehensible. He is so glorious and good and mighty that nothing is too hard for Him. We're going to sing about that in just a second. And He loves you like crazy. And you can come to Him and trust Him with anything and everything you're going through. Right. Mark, would you pray for us?